This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The gavel dropped just a few minutes ago for the short session of the North Carolina General Assembly. Environmental issues are on the agenda this session. A new bill may change fracking practices. And legislators will decide what to do about Duke Energy's 33 remaining coal ash ponds. Meanwhile, teacher pay remains a hot topic. Governor McCrory has some ideas about how to raise that pay and where to find the money. WUNC reporters Jorge Valencia and Rima Crace are live at the Capitol right now. Welcome, Rima and Jorge.
Thanks.
Hello.
Good to talk with you. Rima, it's a, called a short session at the Capitol. What does it look like? What are things like today at the Capitol?
Oh, man, it is exciting. There is a lot of movement, a lot of energy. I mean, I got here pretty early this morning. There were lobbyists walking around, legislators. There were even school field trips with lots of high school students seeing what it looks like for the House and Senate to reconvene. And earlier today, I was actually in a press conference because there are plenty of teachers around here. As we know, teacher pay is going to be a huge priority this session. And they were rallying outside and inside of the building saying that we need to be compensated better, and lawmakers need to respect teachers more.
Yeah, along with those school children were protesters, Jorge, and you were covering the protest. What were those like?
Yeah, this was, as you remember from last year, there was a moral movement. They were here every Monday. There were 900-some people who were arrested. And they're starting officially again next Monday. Today, what they had was people with pots and pans. And it was a lot of the same people. They held signs saying that they were against the voter ID law. They had held signs saying that they were worried about the environment. So it's sort of a prelude of what the summer is going to look like.
Many of the same people, many of the same issues. And the one that has risen to the top most recently, Rima, as you mentioned, is education. Governor McCrory has three proposals that are going to come up, I think, before this assembly regarding teachers, education, and teacher pay. Tell us about them.
Yeah, he has a number of proposals. He came out earlier this year with one proposal saying that he wants to raise the base salary for teachers to $35,000. So that's about a 14% increase, and that's over the next 2 years, which is pretty significant. But again, that would be just for teachers earlier in their careers. So some veteran, more experienced teachers were pretty upset about this. And just last week, he came out with two more proposals saying, okay, actually, I want to give an average 2% raise to all teachers, and then I also want to completely essentially overhaul the pay schedule as it is and reward teachers not only on their experience, but on things like their performance, their credentials, their leadership roles. And this is, like as I said, a long-term plan, so it would be in the coming years. And, of course, these are just all of his proposals, so it'll have to go through the lawmakers.
All of these suggestions will cost money. Do we know how much and where it will come from?
Yeah, that's a big question. You know, Governor Pat McCrory has said over and again that he has the money for it. He's actually going to come out with his budget proposal pretty soon at 1 o'clock. And he says he's going to set aside about he wants to set aside about $265 million for all raises for teachers and state employees. He wants to give a $1,000 raise to state employees. But, you know, we're facing about $500 million shortfall in the budget right now. So it'll be interesting to see how they decide to, where they decide to pull the money from. And McCrory has said that he also has savings so that they can fill certain gaps and give teachers raises. So we'll just have to see.
All right. So we've got the question about where the money's coming from. As you said, there's a $500 million shortfall so far. We're talking about at least $265 million over and above that to meet these pay raises. What has been the response? Any idea now what lawmakers make of these proposals?
Yeah, there's been a lot of response, both from lawmakers and from teachers. There, you know, the Democratic House leader, Larry Hall, came out with a statement along with many other Democratic leaders saying, you know, 2% is not enough. We need to pay our teachers more. Teachers right now, the average teacher salary ranks 46th in the nation. And also, we've just seen lots of cuts to education in schools. This is what they say in the last year. You know, we've seen cuts to teacher assistant jobs. We've seen cuts to textbook funding. We've also seen the repeal of teacher tenure, also known as career status. So, you know, lots of folks are saying we have a teacher crisis right now and that really 2% is not enough and we need to see more. And teachers have been saying that as well as lawmakers.
Wake County alone, over 600 teachers have left their jobs and
yep.
gone to other places just in the last year because of the treatment teachers are getting in this state. So apparently that's a top on the agenda. Not only
yeah,
how...
And
yeah,
and
Jorge?
I just want to add really quickly, just from this morning, actually one of the people who was outside with some of these demonstrators was a man called Justin Ashley. He was named, I believe, his history teacher of the year in North Carolina last year. And he says that he's he's looking for a job in South Carolina, excuse me, simply because he can't really afford to stay in Charlotte, which is where he's living. So he's trying to find work in South Carolina because the pay there is going to be better.
Well, pay is one thing, Rima, but your colleague, Dave DeWitt, received some correspondence between a local teacher and Republican Senator David Curtis. A harsh response. The teacher said, you know, the way we treat teachers is utterly disrespectful. You should be ashamed. I'm ashamed to be a teacher. That was the teacher's email. He replied and said, look, if you think you got it bad with us, check with a private employer and see what they would say. Quote, if he objects, explain to him that a judge has ruled that taxpayers of North Carolina must provide a benefit to every school teacher, etc. And it has gone viral. A lot of response to that reply to the teacher who said, we think you should treat us better. So there's been a public response, a lot of news coverage. Any talk about it there at the Capitol?
Yeah, I talked about it with some teachers earlier today, and I think they were just surprised about his unfiltered response. And, you know, they're saying that lawmakers really need to show, certain lawmakers need to show more respect to teachers. And, you know, they can say all these things. Maybe I think she said this in the letter to the senator that they visit these schools and they shake hands, but they really want to see actual change and actual raises, which, you know, lawmakers are saying they're committed to doing that. So we'll just have to see what happens.
We will as this short session unfolds. Also on the agenda, environmental issues, Jorge. Three possible bills that would deal with Duke Energy's 33 remaining coal ash ponds. Tell us about those.
Yeah, well, so during the short sessions, you know, what the General Assembly looks at is the budget. But this coal ash issue, which you remember from the Dan River earlier this year, 39,000 tons of coal ash into the river, is on a lot of people's minds. So actually the first bill to come from the Senate in this session came this morning. It was from Senators Apodaca and Senate President Pro Tem Phil Berger, so two very influential people. And they are actually so until this morning, it was actually a possibility of three bills. So now it's really just two bills. And the one that they've put forth is really endorsing what the governor proposed a few weeks ago, which was shutting down just a few of the 33 coal ash ponds that Duke Energy has across the state and relocating completely the coal ash that's there. And then leaving the coal ash in the other places and doing some sort of maintenance in order to be able to keep the coal ash dry and prevent it from seeping into the water system and the nearby rivers that it's at. The other legislation comes from the Democratic caucus, Representative Pricey Harrison. And that's really really what they want is to remove the coal ash from all 33 of the coal ash ponds. But realistically, that's very unlikely to happen. Duke has come out saying that it could cost up to $10 billion with a B, 30 years to be able to do that. And plus, the Democrats are in the minority, so it's very unlikely that that'll happen. So what we think that is going to happen is that this proposal that Senators Apodaca and Berger have brought forth, endorsing basically what the governor said, is going to be a starting point. And then there will probably be some more requirements put forth on Duke Energy to handle that.
All right. So to be clear, we've got Duke Energy and the governor saying we should shut down a few of those ponds. We have the Republican proposal from the legislature that says a few more, and then we have a Democratic proposal, Pricey Harrison, saying shut them all down.
Well, right. That's the way that it looked like until early this morning, and just about an hour or two ago, the Senate Republican leadership came forth with a bill that it looks very, very, very much like what the governor had proposed, which also looked similar to what Duke Energy has proposed.
All
to
right.
Do.
So that,
but that's again, I mean, that looks like that's going to be sort of a placeholder and a starting point. And there's going to be a lot of deliberation about that over this next 6 weeks or however long this short session lasts.
I see. And then the other big question is, who's going to pay for this mess? And how's that going to come out? Jorge, what's the discussion there?
Well, what it's looking like is that the State Utilities Commission, which is the one that that regulates Duke Energy, because Duke Energy has a monopoly over energy here in the state, that they would be the ones who would decide whether this is passed along to consumers, because What Duke Energy, they haven't outright said this, but they said, you know, it's going to be up to the Utilities Commission, meaning that maybe the Utilities Commission will allow Duke Energy to increase rates in order to be able to pay for this very expensive coal ash cleanup. Now, there's been multiple environmental organizations, such as the Southern Environmental Law Center, that say that the Utilities Commission has been a little bit too lenient on Duke Energy in the past. And so they would like lawmakers to do something in order to specify who's going to pay for this coal ash cleanup.
Yeah, will it be the rate, or will it be the customers of Duke, or will it be the owners, meaning the shareholders, and the rate commission gets to decide that, or it looks like that might be the legislation. You know, Jorge, I've got about 30 seconds left, but I know fracking is on the agenda. Give us a brief summary.
Well, we've got a bill that's going to be on the floor this year, and we're expecting that that the state would start issuing licenses for drilling companies to come to the state next year. This bill just provides some infrastructure for drilling companies, because I think perhaps what lawmakers are trying to say, they're perhaps trying to send a message to drilling companies that North Carolina is going to be open for business for gas drilling pretty soon. So they're just trying to set up some basic legal infrastructure this year.
We will stay tuned. Jorge Valencia, WNC Capital reporter, thank you for being on the program.
Thank you.
Rima Crace covers education policy for WNC. Thanks, Rima.
Thank you.
On the state of things, we're talking about the movies. It's Movies on the Radio. Think about the film you have seen over and over again. That's coming up on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.